In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've arrived in Semana Santa, Holy Week. It begins today with Passion Palm Sunday. Today at noon, I invite you as the whole of the parish, if you have time, to go and watch in the theater the Passion of the Christ. You've heard the Passion spoken, and there it will be illustrated in something that could be described as guided by the hand of divine providence. This week, we have a great many opportunities to engage all the more in the reality of this Passion and how our Lord Jesus did all this for me. That phrase should be ever upon our lips as we contemplate the Passion. St. Augustine, the great doctor of the church, said that there is nothing more healthful for one's salvation, for one's soul, than to meditate upon the Passion and death of our Lord Jesus. He did this for me. We'll begin this week, the Holy Triduum, here within our parish at 5:30 on Thursday, where we'll have the Mass of the Last Supper. At the conclusion of that Mass, we will have a procession around the church leading the Eucharist, which will be consecrated anew at that Mass in commemoration of the first Mass, taken in reservation to the chapel, where we will remain till midnight, adoring the Lord. That is for us the Garden of Gethsemane. Our Lord spoke to his disciples, but he says the same to you and I. Will you not watch with me but 1 hour? And so too the time which we spend watching and waiting and praying with the Lord on that Holy Thursday this year reveals to us the degree of our love for the same Christ. Then on Friday, as the altar is stripped, just as our Lord is stripped naked, we'll begin our Good Friday at noon with our young men and women leading us in a reenactment of the Stations of the Cross, beginning at the lumberyard and processing through the streets as an act of penitence for ourselves and for the sins of our parish or city, culminating on the steps of the church with the 14th station, after which at 1 o'clock or thereabouts we will begin the Liturgy of the Presanctified, our Good Friday service, where we will pray and beg our Lord that he might have mercy upon us and the blood he shed may be scattered upon us and our children and our children for salvation. Departing in silence, we will wait with Our Lady on Holy Saturday until the Easter Vigil, which will begin for us when it is dark, 8 p.m. Outside there, for the vigil of all vigils, we will light a raging fire outside the church, from which we will light the Paschal candle. 6 feet tall, it will stand towering over us, and we will enter into the church in darkness, lighting our own lamps and singing of the beauty of this sacred light, which is Christ, come into the church. At this Mass, we'll go over the entirety of salvation history in darkness until Christ our Lord is revealed and he brings his light, ringing in Easter joy. It's at this Mass that many will receive their Easter sacraments, baptism, their first Eucharist, confirmation. Every Mass of Easter Sunday will take place just as it does each and every Sunday. Do not miss out on a moment of our Lord, for he did all this for me. A little meditation upon Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Triumphal procession of our Lord Christ Jesus begins at the top of the Mount of Olives. And if you've been to the city of Jerusalem, so many have, you'll know that that overlooks the entirety of the city. Outside the walls, you can see the full of the city there. And so too our Lord did when he ventured that Palm Sunday in procession, beginning from there, seeing the whole of the city stretching out before him. And on seeing the scene of the city unfold before him, and those ready to welcome him in, it says Jesus wept. It's important to note that Jesus wept. He stood there weeping amidst the shouts of joy and such a solemn entry. He wept. This is something totally unexpected. Seeing Jesus there weeping, his disciples must have been completely at a loss. For this single moment when everybody was crying for joy, their joy was shattered to see the Master weeping. Why does Jesus weep? He sees how Jerusalem is stuck in sin, that they are locked in ignorance, that they are shielded in a blindness. Luke chapter 9:42 states, In our Lord's words, he says, would not that even today you knew the things that would make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Our Lord sees how other days will befall this great city of Jerusalem, his city. Not of joy, but days of destruction that are to come. For just a few years later, this city of Jerusalem, God's city, would be razed to the ground, as the fulfillment of the scriptures would be that not a stone would be left upon another stone. How eloquent then are the tears of Jesus, the tears of Christ. They speak of mercy, full of mercy. They were sorrowing over a city which is utterly rejected him. So how can you and I, seeing these things, fail to weep with Jesus today? Jesus used so many means to win souls. Every means. He's God. He worked a great many miracles. He did so many prophetic actions. He spoke powerful, powerful words because he is the Word made flesh. Sometimes his words were severe and cutting. At other times, they were very lenient, soft, and gentle. Jesus tried everything, absolutely everything, for everyone to save their souls. He went into the busyness of the towns. He ventured far off into the countryside. He made himself known to those who were simple people, but also address the learned doctors of the law, the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees. He went all through Galilee, Judea. He went off to the distant Samaria and even beyond. He does so the same today. Today as well as in every age, Jesus offers the riches of his grace to every single person. Why does he do this? It's because Jesus always comes to save. Such is the meaning of his name. Jesus means he saves. He is salvation. He spoke in another place within his ministry. He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You and I are lost. Jesus seeks you and I today, weeping eloquently from the cross. Will we let ourselves be found for him in this Holy Week? Jesus has done this, all of this, for each of us. He does it so often. In fact, Jesus never does he rest in seeking us out for salvation. On so many occasions, Jesus sought out little encounters with you and I. How many ordinary, how many extraordinary graces have been visited upon us within our lives? He came in the flesh. He worked with human hands. He thought with a human mind. He acted from a truly human will. He loved with a human heart, which so often led him to weep. Born of the Virgin Mary, Jesus is totally like us in every way, except sin. So as an innocent lamb led before the slaughter, Jesus freely shed his blood for each of us to free us from the bondage of the devil, from slavery unto sin, so that each of us could one day say with St. Paul, as he says in Galatians 2:20, the Son of Man loved me, and he gave himself up for me. St. Ignatius of Loyola, one of the great saints and saints of the church, he said that every time that we read through the Passion of Christ, that these mysteries of Jesus' great love for us, that we should always exclaim within our souls, beat our breasts and weep, as we say, you did this for me. You did this for me. How could we not be moved with love? How could we not be driven to tears seeing these great acts of love for us from he who is love itself? The story of each of us, of every human person, all of us who are here today, is the story of God's continual watchfulness, his continual care over each of us. Each of us is the object of God's special, particular love meted out for you and me in a way that he does not reveal it to anyone else. Jesus is and was ready to do absolutely everything for his city of Jerusalem, but the city was not willing to open up its gates to receive his mercy. This is the deep mystery of human freedom, the mystery of human iniquity. Human freedom always maintains that sad possibility of rejecting God's freely given grace. St. Jose Maria Escrivá, one of the great saints of the last century, said, free men, subject yourselves to a voluntary servitude so that Jesus won't have to say of you what he said to Teresa of Avila about others. For he said to her, Teresa, I was willing to save every man, but men were not willing to receive it. How do we respond to the countless promptings that the Holy Spirit gives to us, tugging upon our souls to recognize what he did for me? People waving branches praise the Lord that day, saying, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But their support for Jesus was short-lived. Just 5 days later, 5 short days later, their enthusiastic hosannas gave way to angry shouts, crucify him, crucify him. Give us instead Barabbas, the false son of the Father. Why did they so quickly turn on Jesus? Look into your own hearts and you will see. Search your own capricious heart and then you will understand it. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, he tells us, quote, away with him, crucify him. And then they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. How different are the cries now that are calling him King of Israel, when just in a few days' time they will be saying, we have no king but Caesar. What a contrast is there between the green branches they wave and the dark wood of the cross on which they fasten him. Between the flowers that are tossed before him and the thorns that they crush down upon his head. Before they were offering their own clothes before him that he might walk upon them. And so soon afterwards, they are stripping him naked of his own garments and casting lots for them. Jesus asks you and I today for two things. That is, for loyalty and for perseverance. He calls us to deepen our own faithfulness and our own resolutions that we say, I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to sin anymore, to be more than just something which is a flash in the pan. Something which sparkles for a moment and then fades away as though it wasn't even really there to begin with. Our hearts are so often wavering, going this way and that way. Sometimes we're hot and then we're very cold. For we are capable within our lives of doing such great good, but then in the next moment, flashing the very worst of things. If we want to possess eternal life and the triumph of Christ, then we have to be constant with Christ. Through penance, we deaden anything that is in us that keeps us away from God, all that prevents us from following Jesus all the way up to Golgotha, the foot of the cross. Our liturgy today began with that song spoken from the altar as it said, swing back, you doors, go higher yet. Reach higher, you immemorial gates, to let him enter. He who is the King of glory. Anyone who barricades himself within the fortress of his own heart of selfishness will never be able to march into the victory that Jesus proclaims. But if you and I take those gates of our own hearts and raise the gates of our fortress to let in Jesus, who is the King of peace, then we will be able to go out and to fight with our King. Then we will be able to be victorious in that battle against all misery that blurs our eyes from truly seeing the reality of sin, the intensity of Jesus' love. We'll be able to break free of that numbness of our consciences so that we might truly be ones who believe in his love for us. He did this for me. Do we have to do this? That is to say, to open our hearts wide to Jesus today all on our own, by our own power? No. And never do we have to do it on our own power, for we can't. Today also, within the heart of Jerusalem, is one who is always faithful, always constant, always persevering. That is our Mother Mary. She wants to be close to her son too. This will be the last Jewish Passover that he experiences that ever happens in truth, but it will also be the first Mass, where the place where Jesus is offered both priest and victim on the sacrament of the altar. And if you want to have a good Holy Week, a truly Holy Week, stay close to her. Because we're also her sons, we're her daughters, and we can remain with her. She invites us to the foot of the cross with her. And it is there at the foot of the cross that Our Lady will teach us how to remain constant in faith amidst the trials of these dark days. How not to give up to sin and to temptation that so easily harm us, and to grow daily in a real and lasting love for Jesus, our love. If we invite Mother Mary's help to be with us during these days, she will be close to our side, showing us how to really contemplate the passion, the death, and the resurrection of her son. You and I could never hope nor find a more privileged place than to be there at the foot of the cross with our Mother Mary. So with Mary, we must go forward in this Passion Week of our Lord and ask Mary. Ask her to keep you faithful to Jesus during this Holy Week, this Semana Santa, for she will help you to remain constant with Jesus amidst his sufferings, to not turn our heads away from what he did for me. She will give us the strength to persevere in the faith that our Lord places within our hearts. It is she who will show us how Jesus does all of these things for you, how he does them for me. And in this way, will we be able to gain from the Passion a truly transforming share in the Easter glory that is promised to all those who remain faithful at the foot of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.